Like anything else, we thought would take about 6 minutes. That was not the case. So I apologize to members and everybody here present for this excessive delay. Let me explain where we are, members, just so there's no misunderstanding. We have Senator Wieger's education article in front of us. We're doing this a little bit ahead of schedule. And the intent is to, and obviously the bill's in front of us, so we can deal with anything members choose to deal with. I think everybody has heard the discussion of the attempt to accelerate the session. I'm told that things might have come to a screeching halt yesterday, but I'm not quite sure. I just was picking up talk. But there have been discussion with Senator Bach, Senator Scoy and myself as to whether or not we might be able to deal with some of these omnibus bills sooner as opposed to later, and even finish the session by the holiday break, which, of course, I thought was a spectacular idea. I'm not sure, as that's gotten filtered down, that everybody's had quite the same opinion. So in the process, just to explain then to members why we're here this morning on a fairly expedited basis, I think it was was it Tuesday or Wednesday, when we had a lengthy conversation, Senator Bach and myself, with Mr. Bodder and Mr. Nauman about how we would handle the finance process, the finance committee process. And Senator Wieger's article, of course, has tax considerations, which means that we would have to send, once we heard the entire supplemental finance bill, we'd have to send that bill to the tax committee. It would have to be reported on the floor with a referral to the tax committee, then have the tax committee hear the bill, send it back to the floor. That was going to add several days to the process. As members know, the chairs of the divisions know, that there was a deadline established of the end of the day, Monday, the 31st, for all of the division reports and articles to come to the full committee. What I did, just for the non-chairs who are here, that was up to the division chair. If that person thought that he or she could get the article sooner, that was fine. If somebody thought they needed the time until Monday, that was the time that I established. Senator Wieger worked very hard, has his article ready. And so what we thought we would do is to hear the portion that deals with the tax committee, amend the article onto a bill, and Mr. Bodern will jump in at some point with procedurally how we had thought we might handle this. But if members approved, to then forward, make a recommendation as we normally would with a referral to the tax committee. In session this morning, we would then have the referral to the tax committee from the finance committee, and then have the bill heard by the tax committee whenever Senator Scoy so chose. That would allow the bill potentially then to come back, that article to come back to the committee to be able to, because then it's back in the finance committee, to then have it presented along with everything else next week. The third deadline is a week from today, April 4th, and it had been my expectation that we would hear the supplemental finance bill on Friday. In our discussion, again, with Senator Bach and Mr. Nauman and Mr. Bodern, we made the determination that the calendar probably should be accelerated by a day and have the bill heard on April 3rd, next Thursday. So that's procedurally what I would like to do. It's a little bit unusual, but keeping in mind that everything is within the Finance Committee, this article, the attempt, just so members don't have any misunderstanding, there was no intent to kind of sneak this article by. What we'll have in front of the committee is all the articles, and keep in mind, I know there's a little bit of confusion, even though we're kind of a year into this process, when we reverted back to the good old days of the Finance Committee, where all the divisions are within the Finance Committee. They're not freestanding committees. So whatever is floating around the Finance Committee very easily then can be structured into the Supplemental Finance Bill and presented to the full committee. And originally the intent had been with Senator Wieger's article, it would be no different than Senator Bonhoff or Senator Saxhog, Senator Tomasoni, Senator Dibble, and the others in terms of their articles incorporated into the omnibus bill that I'll present to the full committee. Now, what I don't know, and I only picked this up toward the end of the day yesterday, is that there was maybe some resistance, I think, within the House relative to the proposed schedule. And I have not had a chance to actually figure out how this might be handled. I know the last direct conversation I had with anybody is Senator Bach turned to me at some point late yesterday and said, so can you have your bill in the conference committee report finished by April 10th? And I said, sure, if that's what we're going to do. So I'm a little bit uncertain as to where the schedule in the calendar is right now. But if we find we're going to try to maintain a schedule, as we discussed earlier in the week, then we do need to hear Senator Wieger's article relative to the tax portion. Now, the whole article is in front of us, and if members want to get into considerations of the other parts of his bill, it's fair game. But I want to make it very, very clear to members that all parts of Senator Wieger's article will be part of the Supplemental Finance Bill like every other division. It wouldn't be as if we allow this to go out of the committee that we're never going to see it again. We'll see it in the context of the full bill with everything else. So I wanted to offer that context to members, and because this is these last two or three days have been a real accelerated process. And again, I don't know if that's going to turn around 180 degrees at this point from where I thought we were yesterday morning. So with that in mind, we have Senator Wieger, the E-12 division article. And Mr. Bodden, maybe just you could fill in the blanks at least procedurally as to where we are.
Mr. Chairman, I think you gave a very thorough explanation. The key point for committee members to understand is that the E-12 division recommendations will be placed before the Finance Committee again, as the other articles for the supplemental budget bill will be. What the members have before them in the packets is the 767A1 document, which is the E-12 recommendations, and I think the intention, as I understand it, is for the committee to amend Senate File 767 to include those recommendations and re-refer that bill to the Tax Committee.
So just that so members understand, you've got in front of you Senate File 767. So that's a bill, and it's a bill that was introduced by Senator Wieger. And I think, Senator Wieger, this was your I'm not sure if this was your unsession bill.
Mr. Chair, it'd be one item for on session.
Yeah. And I want to make sure. I guess this one looks okay. We had Senator Marty's on session bill where I noticed there was more new language than deleted language the other day in the Rules Committee. But this one, you got a lot of language deleted. So we would take Senate File 767 and amend your article onto that, and then depending on how people on the committee feel, hope they'll feel okay about this, we would then pass Senate File 767 and refer to the Tax Committee so you could present those issues, those tax issues, to the Tax Committee. So if you want to present what we have.
Mr. Chair, too.
And as Senator Wieger is going up there, should make it clear that there was a zero levy target for the division, and so any work that Senator Wieger has done has been with that in mind. So I'm sorry, Senator Bonhoff.
Mr. Chair, just wanted to say on the record, I had talked to Senator Wieger about a potential amendment and Senator Tomasoni, but I'm going to wait until it's back for before the full finance, and I'm straddling jobs as well, so I'll be in and out, but I just want to say that that process sounds workable.
Thanks. You'll be my best friend for doing that. at least one of them, I hope. Senator Wicker.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members.
Senator Tomasoni?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just want to make sure I'm one of your best friends, too. Okay?
Well, you bought dinner last night.
Don't tell anybody.
Mr. Chair, as you indicated, the E-12 Budget Division has done its work. It has a recommendation that is included, which I'd like to formally do by amendment, and I would move the A-1 amendment to Senate File 767. The A-1 amendment is the action taken by the committee, the division, yesterday.
Okay, so I think we've had the full explanation of what we're trying to do procedurally. So Senator Wicker has moved the A-1 amendment to Senate File 767, which then becomes the vehicle we'll use for our purposes of discussion. Is there further discussion on that procedural motion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Wicker.
And Mr. Chair, recognizing that this bill will be back before the committee next week, where there will be a more detailed chance to get into all provisions, I just want to give a quick overview. The total supplemental spending is $41,121,000 for fiscal year 2015, and for 2016-2017 biennium, $82,140,000. There is no net levy increase, and there are some provisions that we'll track and to highlight for you, which Senator Scoy's committee would review. For the $41 million, three-fourths of it goes to early education, and we have this divided into areas for the early learning scholarship, which we've had a lot of discussion on before, the early childhood family education, as well as school readiness aid. Various other programs are in there, but for big picture, three-fourths of the money invested goes for early education. So, Mr. Chair, there is an appropriation tracking sheet that members may refer to if they would like to look at any specific item. As well, we have the tax levy sheet and for property tax, and perhaps per your instruction, I believe there's five lines that would be jurisdiction most likely for tax committee, and we could have Mr. Wilms briefly highlight those with the recognition that we would be moving this along for passage to the tax committee and then coming back here. So I'd like to have Mr. Wilms, with your permission, highlight those points.
Mr. Chair and committee members, what we'll be working off of is the property tax tracking sheet. The provisions within that are, if you have the sheet before you, if you look to column C and F, you can zero in on the changes relative to forecasted property taxes.
Mr. Wilms, what I'm asking you to do is let's make sure everybody, we have three documents. Does everybody have the one? It's got education, FY14-15. Underneath that, it says property tax tracking. Does everyone have that? And if you can also make reference, in addition to the spreadsheet, the tracking sheet we have, as to language in the bill as well. Or maybe Mr. Arneson's going to do that. So go ahead, Ms. Wilm.
Mr. Chair and committee members, on line 10 of the tracking spreadsheet, you'll notice an increase of $1.2 million in fiscal year 16 and an increase of $1.1 million in fiscal year 17. Those are taxes payable 15 and 16. That change within the bill relates to the redefinition of the metro equity region within general education. Basically, it brings it in conformance with the local optional levy, that language. Basically, if your district is within any portion of the metro region, you're considered a metro district for the purposes of that formula. Line 12 on the property tax tracking sheet, operating capital. as you'll know, there's an, or as you'll see there in line in column C and F, there's an offset of 4.7 million in fiscal year 16 and an offset of negative 3.3 million in fiscal year 17. And that relates to having a net zero levy target. So those are offsets by making those up in aid equalization. So additional aid, and that allows it to have a net zero levy impact. Line 44 of the property tax tracking sheet, that relates to Safe Schools increase for intermediate districts. It's a $5 increase in the Safe Schools levy, and it results in a $1.1 million cost in fiscal 16 and a $1.1 million cost in fiscal year 17. On the second page,
page 4,
in 70, building lease levy, there was an increase of $50 for school districts and a smaller increase for intermediate districts. That results in a $470,000 levy cost in 16 and a $495,000 cost in fiscal year 17. Line 71 is a satellite transportation hub. That was a Senator Claussen proposal, which results in local levies of $600,000 in 16 and local levies of $600,000 in 17. And then if you skip down to line 82 and 85, two provisions within the committee's position were effective for fiscal year 15, so these are shown up as fiscal year 16 changes or prior year adjustments. It's $908,000. That has to do with the metro equity redefinition, and line 85, the building lease levy that was discussed earlier. As for the sections of the bill, we can relate to the summary. Yeah, and I'll turn it over to my colleague, Mr. Arneson, for that.
Mr. Arneson.
Mr. Chair, members, just going in the same order that Mr. Wilms described. So the line 10 equity region relates to section 51 of the bill. Line 12 on the property tax tracking sheet, operating capital, relates to section 47 of the bill. The building lease levy relates to section 57 and 76 of the bill. The safe schools levy for intermediate districts contained within section 58 of the bill. Finally, the levy authority for the satellite transportation hub is contained in section 79 of the bill.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Wilms, can you just tell me a little bit more about the division's thinking, or maybe Senator Wieger, relative to what you had done in terms of the change in the equity section in terms of that cap adjustment?
Well, Mr. Chair, referring to line 10 on the tracking sheet for the provision on the metro, there were several school districts, I believe nine, that straddle the metro area, but part of the district is in greater Minnesota. And for purposes of our equity formula as it relates to referendum and as we equalize funds for districts, there we had a requirement that for metro you had to have your headquarters within the metro area. There were several districts, about nine I believe, that straddled, but the headquarters was outside the metro, and Elk River had provided testimony, but Northfield, several others, that districts, and so the name of fairness, recognizing that they had challenges very similar to neighboring districts, we made that recommendation.
Okay. So and Senator Wieger, this might be a little bit beyond your division, and that's why I was curious. So I'm not disagreeing with what you're attempting to do, but you've got school districts that go beyond what's considered to be the metropolitan area. And again, your distinction were situations where the school headquarters was outside the metro area. Is that correct?
Correct.
And you said there were 9 districts like that. You mentioned Northfield, Elk River. So it actually raises a question which goes far beyond the E-12 division. As we continue to, you know, we use this definition where we kind of, you know, we grandfather in part of a school district that's non-metro, but it's the historic school district. You know, is that kind of, do we keep on kind of inching that way? So soon we'll have, you know, Sarah Newman will have Hutchinson in the metropolitan area fairly soon, and which may or may not be, maybe Sarah Newman thinks that's a good idea, maybe he thinks it's a bad idea. But so I just wonder, and it's, the question is more rhetorical at this point, yeah, as to what other kinds of situations might be there in terms of other taxing or governmental jurisdictions beyond the traditional city, township, county lines, because obviously we've used counties in terms of a determination of you know, what the metropolitan area is, but you know, in this case, we're using this combination as a consequence of a school district. So again, my question is rhetorical. I don't expect an answer, but just a second, Mr. Nauman has an answer to my rhetorical question.
Mr. Chair and members, it may be a little bit of history on the equity formula would be helpful. Back when this formula was originally drafted in 1999, the formula largely looks as it does in current law, which keys off of where a district's administrative office is located, whether it be in the metro area or outside the metro area. Northfield is the classic case and one that we learned some lessons from when drafting this particular bill, because the effective date of this formula was keyed to where the district's administrative offices were on, I believe, the 1st of July, 1999. The bill was passed, I believe, in May or shortly before the end of the fiscal year, which gave the district sufficient time to rent space inside the metro area and therefore qualify for being part of the metro equity region. And then a couple of years back, the legislature reversed it and changed the effective date so that it was a point in history, although past 1999. So because the district had only rented that space for a short period of time, they then became part of the greater Minnesota equity region. So I think what this particular change, like it or not, uses a different criteria that says if any of your physical boundary happens to be in that original definition, you qualify for equity region as opposed to the metro equity region, as opposed to using the location of the administrative offices. So that I think that's the balance that the committee was trying to strike.
And Senator Wieger and Mr. Nauman, my question was not directed so much at what the committee is doing now, and I don't have that objection. It raises the question in my mind, separate from what we've done with school policy, where you know, we've worked in terms of some of these equity issues previously, but it just Senator Wieger, as I heard you state that, it just raised, like I said, more of a rhetorical question in my mind as to where else we might have these lapping jurisdictions, overlapping jurisdictions, and I used the facetious comment to Senator Newman, although Senator Thomasoni is, I know you're thinking, how can I get access to the metropolitan area? And what would that do for the range? And that's exactly the kind of thing I'd be fearful of. So
I got a train that we could get down here real quick and get some students up there.
So, but that's it's helpful to have the history and the sense of the division. So, Senator Goodwin?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't understand K-12 funding like I should probably, but I'm trying to find out why one of my school districts would lose either $500,000 or have to take a levy out on it between last year's bill and this one. I don't know what's actually going to happen, if it's better or worse than this one, but they end up having to make $500,000. They're a very small school district, and they have to make $500,000 in cuts or levy increases. How did that happen?
Mr. Williams.
Mr. Chair and committee members, so Chapter 116, the Education Act last year made significant changes to the way referendum pupils were counted. And I think the changes that were made were in an effort to simplify the accounting steps by changing it from a pupil served to resident pupil. And it was intended to be revenue neutral for fiscal year 15, but I think there was a shift in terms of what had to be made up by the district in terms of local levy versus aid. And I think that is where the change came from.
And, Mr. Chair, that's not corrected by this bill, I understand. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair and committee members, no, that's correct. It's not corrected by this bill.
Okay. So, Mr. Williams, if you want to continue, or Senator Wieger.
Mr. Chair, that would conclude the pertinent portions that the tax committee would have jurisdiction.
Do we have any questions, further questions, or discussion, Senator Wieger, our staff, relative to, again, the tax consequence sections of Senate File 767?
Mr. Chair, I would move that Senate File 767, as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Taxes.
And we have had a quorum established. Is there further discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. Thank you, Senator Wieger. And thank you, committee members. Hopefully everybody understands what we're doing. We'll have a chance to have a much fuller discussion of Senator Wieger's article when it comes back from tax and incorporated into the full supplemental.